RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, weekend review, and news in brief. We'll continue to our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with listener's mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo distributes thousands of social assistance cards. Having potential dairy farms, Indonesia does not need to import cattle. Programmers race to create price monitoring application. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo distributed social assistance cards comprising of Indonesian health cards, Indonesian smart cards, and prosperous family saving cards. During his visit in Pontianak, West Kalimantan on Saturday, he also handed over social assistance cards for people with heavy disabilities to disabled persons. Jokowi said the social assistance beneficiaries must benefit from the facilities in line with their specified purposes. The president added that the social assistance cards he had handed over to people from low-income brackets in the city were covered by budgetary allocations previously used for fuel subsidies worth trillions of rupiahs. He said that nationally, the government had distributed 60 million Indonesia health cards, 20 million smart cards, and 88 million Indonesia health cards. Vice Chairman of Indonesia People's Consultative Assembly Mahyudin said that Indonesia has potential sizable dairy farms. If the farms was well managed, Indonesia will be able to meet the needs of meat without imports. Mahyudin, who also serves as chairman of the Indonesian Association of Family Farmers, said the cattle population in East Java reached 4 million heads. Supposedly, if some provincial governments support the development of livestock, Indonesia does not need to import cattle. In this case, he said, the government should be able to develop cattle farmers in Indonesia so that Indonesia does not have to rely on Australia. Many areas other than Java that are potentially a center for cattle breeders, such as East Nusa Tenggara and West Nusa Tenggara, South Sulawesi, Kalimantan, and also Donggala. Even though the beef prices in the market are high, the beef prices at farm level does not even rise. Hundreds of Indonesian programmers participated in a competition to create an application to monitor prices of beef, rice, and sugar starting from the farmer level to the consumer. A total of 460 programmers will be screened to 60 teams in the competition facilitated by the Presidential Staff Office. Three teams with the best application will be picked from the 60 teams. Quote for Nation Chairman Ainun Najib, in collaboration with the Presidential Staff Office, said that Indonesian young programmers were extremely enthusiastic to be involved in finding solutions to problems faced by the country. The application will be widely available for public and government officials who want to monitor prices would be able to access the information in a website to be launched in the near future. The Indonesian government plans to form a team that will be responsible for the nation's forestry issues in an attempt to minimize cases of environmental violations across the archipelago. The task force will be a joint collaboration between several state entities, including the Forestry and Environment Ministry, the Home Affairs Ministry, the Agrarian Ministry, as well as the Corruption Eradication Commission. Forestry and Environment Minister Siti Nurbaya said, as quoted by Kompas.com, that the biggest problem the government is currently facing involves legal certification of land and disputes due to a lack of legal clarity on land ownership. She said state officials will work hand in hand with the commission to formulate a more comprehensive regulation to handle these issues. Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo, meanwhile, welcomed the task force, saying his staff would also work with the commission and other ministries to form a team that will draft technical instructions on the matter. He said immediate action is important to prevent the issue from deteriorating. Conflicts over land and Indonesia's forests have always caused heavy state losses. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Copper and gold miner PT Freeport Indonesia, a subsidiary of U.S.-based giant mining firm Freeport-McMoRan Incorporation, still may not export concentrates as it is not ready to implement a trade ministry regulation on the mandatory use of letters of credits for mineral exports. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry's Director General for Minerals and Coal, Bambang Gatot Aryono, said in general Indonesia's mining companies, especially Freeport, had not yet agreed on the mandatory use of Letter of Credits or LC for their overseas shipments. He said all mining companies must adhere to the regulation, although he acknowledged that the application of LC in exports would lead to additional costs. The government is currently reviewing the establishment of a state-owned enterprise for geothermal energy production. President Joko Widodo on Saturday, as quoted by setcap.go.id, said that geothermal energy has a potential of up to 29,000 megawatts but has not been managed well for years despite its eco-friendly electricity generation. According to President Jokowi, Indonesia has always concentrated too much on electricity produced by coal. He said that that is why the government will move to geothermal and there has to be someone in charge to manage it. Last item. The Indonesian Consulate General in New York held an Indonesian street festival themed Journey to Indonesia on Saturday. It was the peak event of the 70th Indonesian anniversary commemoration with Indonesian performing arts and cultures towards local people in New York. Consular General Gavur Dharma Putra, during his opening remarks, stated that this was the first ever event held by the Indonesian Consulate General in New York since its first establishment in 1951. He also encouraged Indonesian citizens to keep up the good work and escalate it into a higher contribution for the country.
Semangat yang sedang digemborkan oleh pemerintah adalah kerja, ayo kerja, ayo kerja, dan ayo kerja.
Our government encourages us to work, so let's work, not only for ourselves, our families, but far beyond it, for our country, Indonesia. The Indonesian Street Festival was celebrated with Indonesian art and culture performances. The event showed the high perspectives of Indonesian beauty from Sumatra and Kalimantan, Jawa and Bali, as well as Sulawesi, Maluku and Papua. The event was also colored with the Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian Language Learning Workshop conducted for kids as well as Indonesian Culinary Bazaar. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo distributes thousands of social assistance cards. Having potential dairy farms, Indonesia does not need to import cattle. Programmers race to create price monitoring application. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Nuke, in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, which present you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from the city of Surabaya. Solar energy electric car Widya Wahana 5th, innovated by the students of 10 November Institute of Technology ITS, started debut expedition from Jakarta to Bali on Monday, August 17, 2015. Launched by the Indonesian Research, Technology and High Education Minister Muhammad Nasir, precisely on the commemoration of the Independence Day of Republic of Indonesia. Widya Wahana 5th will become a solar energy car with the farthest journey in Indonesia.
In the launching, Nasir congratulated the students for the innovative car, which will take part in World Solar Challenge 2015 in Australia next October. Yusuf Alif, student of Shipping Engineering at ITS, which serves as the design manager in Widya Wahana 5th Engineering, said that the car is expected to do Jakarta Denpasar trip for 5 days. Ayuning Fitri Desanti, member of Anggota Tim Electric Rekayasa Widya Wahana 5th Engineering Electric Team, said that theoretically, a car can run in the maximum speed 90 km an hour. Now we move to Yogyakarta Special Regions, where 400 participants join International Islamic School Robot Olympiad 2015 at Yogyakarta Islam Indonesia Universities on August 19 to 21, 2015. They are students of elementary school, junior high school, and senior high school. Committee Head of International Islamic School Robot Olympiad for 2015, Beni Suranto, sat in Yogyakarta, that the Robot Olympiad participants come from some countries, including Malaysia, Singapore, Egypt, and Indonesia. 9 categories are adopted from various world-class robot competitions, namely sumo robot, transporter robot, theater robot, soccer robot, low-cost robot, rescue robot, aerial robot, mission challenge robot, and underwater robot. Vice Rector 3 of Abdul Jamil Islam Indonesia University stated that the 400 students consist of 70 international students and 330 students from all over Indonesia. The last news is still from Yogyakarta Special Region, where cultural parade from 34 art groups enlivened the opening of Yogyakarta's Art Festival 2015, which was held at Bantul Regency, Pemda Second Office Complex, Yogyakarta last Thursday. Head of Bantul Cultures and Tourism Service, Bambang Legowo, said,
"Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past."
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We begin with the event from August 23, 1942, the Battle of Stalingrad. The Battle of Stalingrad, which occurred on August 23, 1942 until February 2, 1943, was a fierce battle between Germany and its allies against the Soviet Union in World War II. It aims to fight the Battle of Stalingrad. The battle is considered a turning point of World War II and the bloodiest battles in history, where 1.5 million people are killed on both sides. Stalingrad is a city that is very important because it is the largest industrial city on the banks of the Volga River, which became an important transport route to the Caspian Sea. Germany wanted to see Stalingrad because the city has large oil reserves, which is needed by the Germans then. Move now to the event in 1949, the Round Table Conference is held. After the proclamation of independence of Indonesia, the Netherlands does not necessarily recognize Indonesia's sovereignty. The Netherlands and Indonesia subsequently held several meetings to resolve this problem by diplomacy, one of them through the Roundtable Conference. The Roundtable Conference, which was held in The Hague, Netherlands on August 23rd to November 2, 1949, between representatives of the Republic of Indonesia and the Netherlands, and also the Federal Cooperation Forum, or BNCOMS for Federal Overleg, conference ended with the Dutch willingness to cede sovereignty to the Republic of Indonesia states. The sovereignty of the Republic of Indonesia was handed over on December 27, 1949. Last item is from August 23, 1967, the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, or LIPI, is established. In 1956, through Act No. 6 of 1956, the Indonesian government established the Indonesian Science Council with the principal task of guiding the development of science and technology and to give consideration to the government in terms of scientific wisdom. Then in 1962, the government established the Department of Affairs of the National Research Council of Science and puts Indonesia in it with the additional task of building and nurturing some of the National Research Institute. On August 23, 1967, the government abolished the institution, and by the Provisional People's Consultative Assembly, Decree No. 18 of 1967, the government established the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, or LIPI. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with me, Nuka. The Indonesia's flight world is in sorrow this week. The Trigana airplane crash in Papua on Sunday, August 16, is our highlight of the week. Listener, Trigana airplane ATR-42-400, which carried 49 passengers and 5 crews flying from Jayapura Sentani to Oksibil, lost contact on Sunday, August 16. The plane was found in Okbape District, Pegunungan Bintang, after hitting Mount Tangok. All of 54 passengers were found dead. The Minister of Transportation cannot confirm yet the cause of Trigana airplane crash because it still waits for the investigations of the National Transportation Safety Commission, KNKT. Deputy Chairman of Commission 5 at the Indonesian House of Representatives from the Prosperous Justice Party, Yudi Widiana Adiat, said that pilots should understand the hilly nature of Papua and changing weather because flight route in Papua is prone to accident. Therefore, according to Yudi Widiana, flight navigation facility in Papua, especially in a dangerous location, and devices of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency's PMKG in Papua should be updated to give accurate weather service. Meanwhile, member of Commission 5 at the House from People's Conscience Hanura Party, Miriam S. Haryani, asked Transportation Ministry to audit all planes, both the commercials and the cargo ones, both the public one and the private ones. The audit aims to prevent plane crash, which has happened recently, particularly planes whose route flying from one island to another. Following the finding of flight data recorder FDR, and cockpit voice recorder, VCR, in the debris of Trigana airplane on Wednesday, Ministry of Transportation Ignatius Jonan asked the National Transportation Safety Commission, KNKT, that analyzes the two devices to submit early report at least in a month. The Commission Chairman Tatang Kurniadi confirmed that there is no foreigner in Trigana airplane. Therefore, there is no obligation to report the investigation's results of the plane crash to other countries. Listener, that ends Highlight of the Week from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the Week in Review, presenting you what is happening last week from Monday to Saturday. Let's start with Monday, August the 17th. The international community, particularly originating from Asia, welcomes the visa-free policy imposed by the Indonesian government in the attempt to increase foreign visits to Bali. An increased number of visits to Bali from China, Japan, and South Korea have shown since the start of 2015. Tourism analyst Dewa Nyoman said in Denpasar on Monday that hotel guest staying in tourism areas in Bali mostly originate from Asia-Pacific. So, based on the records from Bali's tourism department, the increase in tourist visits from China, South Korea, and Japan to Bali experienced a climb of above 10% for periods from January to June 2015, whereas tourist visits from Malaysia and Singapore are the opposite. On Tuesday, August the 18th, 47 members of the Indonesian Armed Forces took part in a joint peacekeeping exercise in Malaysia with the Global Peace Operation Initiative initiated by the United States, with 26 Pacific countries and some African countries, such as Malawi and Tanzania. Last year, the joint exercise was conducted at the Center for Peacekeeping Mission of Indonesia Armed Forces in Sentul, Bogor, West Java. This exercise consists of several phases. The Indonesian contingent participating in the joint exercise are the instructors and candidates who will join the United Nations mission. The joint exercise itself was carried out from June 20 to August 25, 2015. On Wednesday, President Joko Widodo received President of the Algerian Constitutional Council Murad Medelsi at the Merdeka Palace. In Jakarta, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said following a limited cabinet meeting at the presidential office that we'll discuss the plan to implement a light rail transit project. Anung noted that President Joko Widodo was chairing the meeting when the Algerian guests arrived at the Merdeka Palace. Next is from Wednesday, Indonesian Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman said he was confident beef prices would drop to normal levels next week because stocks in the field were adequate. The minister also said the rising beef prices over the past several days could have been caused by restriction in supply due to ranch workers taking time off during and after the Lebaran festivities. Their absence led to the postponement of stock deliveries. However, the ranch workers have now returned to work, so the delivery cycle will return to normal and the supply and price of beef will therefore also return to stable levels. On Thursday, August the 20th, Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro set a rule that a number of art and entertainment services were free from value-added taxes. The rule was stated in a Minister of Finance regulation. A type of art and entertainment service that are free from value-added taxes were movie, art, music, dance, and fashion performances, beauty pageant and bodybuilding contests, exhibition, karaoke, nightclubs, circus, and many others. Next, the news is from Saturday, but it's from Friday, actually. The Mount Lesser National Park Center and the Aceh Police signed on Friday a memorandum of understanding on stamping oil out illegal logging, which continues to expand in the Mount Lesser National Park. The signing of the MOU was witnessed by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, Asia and Pacific Regional Director, Syahbaz Khan, Director General of Environmental and Forestry Enforcement, Istanto, as well as a number of officials from the Aceh Police and the Mount Lesser National Park. Aceh Police Chief Inspector General Hussein Harmidi said the MOU was proof of police support for the eradication of illegal logging in the Mount Lesser National Park, especially in the law enforcement process conducted by the Park Center against illegal loggers. On Friday, Bank Indonesia, or BI, issued a number of policies to maintain exchange rate stability through a monetary operation optimization in money market and foreign exchange. Executive Director of Department of Economic and Monetary Policy, Bank Indonesia, Yuda Agung, said that monetary operations are conducted through three strategies, namely strengthening the management of rupiah liquidity in foreign exchange market, strengthening the management of foreign exchange supply and demand, and strengthening the adequacy of foreign exchange reserve. Senior Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia Aditya Suara Mirza said that related to the restriction on dollar purchases without underlying, BI side sees there is excess liquidity in the short term. So in the current economic condition, it is feared that the excess liquidity is not used for the real economy but for speculative activities. Well, that was the week in review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. President Joko Widodo distributed social assistance cards comprising of Indonesian health cards, Indonesian smart cards, and prosperous family saving cards during his visit in Pontianak, West Kalimantan on Saturday. Vice Chairman of Indonesia People's Consultative Assembly Mahyudin said that Indonesia has potential sizable dairy farms. If the farms was well managed, Indonesia will be able to meet the needs of meat without imports. Hundreds of Indonesian programmers participated in a competition to create an application to monitor prices of beef, rice, and sugar starting from the farmer to the consumer level. The Indonesian government plans to form a team that will be responsible for the nation's forestry issues in attempt to minimize cases of environmental violations across the archipelago, and the task force will be a joint collaboration between several state entities, including the Forestry and Environment Ministry, the Home Affairs Ministry, the Agrarian Ministry, as well as the Corruption Eradication Commission. Copper and gold miner PT Freeport Indonesia, a subsidiary of U.S.-based giant mining firm Freeport-McMoRan Incorporated, still may not export concentrates as it is not ready to implement a trade ministry regulation on the mandatory use of letters of credits for mineral exports. The government is currently reviewing the establishment of a state-owned enterprise for geothermal energy production. The Indonesian Consulate General in New York held an Indonesian Street Festival themed Journey to Indonesia on Saturday, August the 22nd. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. To the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Iwood Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture, and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you to Aling-Aling Waterfall, which is located in Buleleng, Bali province. So stay tuned in at RRI Iwood Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Waterfalls in Buleleng district, so many that the district is often called the Waterfalls District. One of them, which is quite well known, is Aling-Aling Waterfall, located in Buleleng, Bali. With a height of about 35 meters, the waterfall has become a favorite tourist destination because of its well-maintained natural beauty. Moreover, to get to this waterfall is not so difficult because of its location, which is close to the city center of Singaraja. To go to Aling-Aling Waterfall, you must first go to Sambangan Village in Sukasada District in Buleleng Regency. From Singaraja, which is the nearest city, the distance is approximately 11 kilometers or about 10 to 15 minutes by car. But if you depart from Denpasar, the capital of Bali province, the distance is around 22 kilometers. Also, it's a little bit far. Then, when you are entering the city of Singaraja, you will see the junction with a sign that read Aling-Aling Waterfall. Just follow the 2 kilometers road, which will take you to the parking lot. From here, you still have to walk along the rice fields, up and down hundreds of steps, so approximately 400 meters. Aling-Aling Waterfall is surrounded by high cliffs and dense trees. Small wonder that the atmosphere here is quite cool and tranquil. Aling-Aling Waterfall is unique. From its peak, the water that falls down to the bottom splits into two parts. On the right, the water debit is more than the water that falls on the left. At the bottom of the waterfalls, a basin was formed, and this becomes a great place for tourists to soak in and swim. This basin has a depth of approximately 4 meters, so you can also swim there. On the way to the waterfall, you can take a break at two smaller waterfalls located in a river. In this place, you can rest while enjoying the beauty of nature. At this point, it is highly advised to take a rest because after that, the journey will continue by having to walk up and down the stairs to finally get to Aling Aling Waterfall. After a pretty long journey plus going up and down stairs, you may feel tired. Yet it will soon disappear once you reach Aling Aling Waterfall, for the beautiful landscape in waterfall will remove all your fatigue. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, which took you to Aling Aling Waterfall in Buleleng, Bali Province. Until tomorrow with another edition of Indonesian Wonder.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a special program featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, history, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the social value of Tedong Bonga. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. If you go to the Toraja, South Sulawesi, there are many unique things that you can encounter. One of them is the funeral ceremony of Torajan people called Rambu Solo. It is a ceremony for the family who is left behind to send off the body of the dead to a final resting place. Rambu Solo ceremony is the answer to the uncertainty of the mystery of life after death, to put away any concern for the fate of the dead in the afterlife. Aluk Todolo doctrine of the Torajan contains the concept of confidence in the nature of life after death. This doctrine considers that the spirit of a person after death does not go away but go back to a place which is regarded as the home of the spirits or as a place of origin of their ancestors. If you travel to Ketekusu village, you'll meet a community leader called Pak or Mr. Tingting who will explain about Rambu Solok ceremony. So, actually, the funeral ceremony of the Torajan means that what is left from what he had earned is returned to the community in the form of social assistance or contributions. So, if by chance the dead has much left, the prices of the buffaloes are also varied from the price of Tedong Sambau up to Tedong Bunga, and Baliak also. Well, more or less is like that. For the majority of Indonesian people, death is not something that should be celebrated. But for the Torajan in South Sulawesi, death is a more important event than a wedding celebration. A death ceremony is important as can be seen from the presence of Tedong Bunga in traditional Rambu Solok ceremony. Pak Tingting explained further about the meaning of Tedong Bunga. So, Tedong Bunga is a buffalo which, according to the Torajan, has more value. That in the past, it could be exchanged for 24 little buffaloes with black, white, and red colors. A buffalo lover could judge it from the navel, tail, horns, body, and face. If all are right, then according to the current price, it could reach 800 million rupiahs for just one buffalo. A fantastic price for a buffalo. The price seems not the main thing that should be considered by the people of Toraja, because the Tekdong Bunga or spotted buffalo is believed to be a convenient vehicle for the deaf. People outside Toraja might be thinking, why buy a spotted buffalo or Tekdong Bunga at fantastic prices only to be slaughtered and consumed? For the Torajan people with a high social status, Tekdong Bunga must exist in their Rambu Solok ceremony. It was important for those who can afford it because it is the peak of sacrifice. People used to think that the buffalo is a vehicle to go to the Nirvana, but now people believe if we do good sincerely, certainly it will go back to the deceased, whether it's in hell or heaven. It's up to the Creator, yes. If Tekdong Bunga is so important in the ceremony, there must be the good and less good types of Tekdong Bunga. All Tekdong Bunga are good, but of course there is the best among the goods. Well, it can be seen from the spots. Some are just spotted, called Lotong Book. It is also expensive, but it is only the second best. The price is only around 600 to 700 million rupiahs. The price of the most expensive Tekdong Bunga is 800 or 850 million rupiahs. I think the spotted buffalo is the convenient vehicle to Nirvana. Social status seems still become an important thing for the people of Toraja. Even a buffalo can become a measurement of how high a person's social status in society. Tanah Toraja, or the land of the dead, is still providing plenty of surprises through people's culture and traditions. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which informed you about the social value of Tekdong Bunga. Thank you for listening. Until the next edition of Miscellany, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music, of course, for you. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listener, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Well then now, let's start answering your letters and emails. First, I'd like to read an email sent by Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. In his email, he said that he was listening to our broadcast on August 14, 2015 through the frequency of 9525 kHz at 1300 hours to 1400 hours UTC. And the SINPO was 44444 or 54s. It was good reception according to him. Well, hello Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, thank you for your email dated August 16, 2015. We are really glad because you and other listeners can listen to our broadcast again through the frequency of 9525 kHz. Hopefully, the reception of our frequency is getting better and better. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you very much. Well then, special for you, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan and our regular listeners, we'll play for you a song from Nicky Astria. Enjoy the song. Listener, before we continue to answering emails, we'll introduce you to one of Indonesian singers, Nicky Astria. Nastiti Karya Dewi, better known as her stage name, Nicky Astria, is an Indonesian lady rocker. Born in Bandung, West Java on October 18, 1965, Nicky Astria began singing in 1975, while the family was stationed in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. After several years of participating in festivals and taking vocal training in 1984, Nicky Astria was signed to AMK Records. Although her first album was flopped, she found success with her second and third album, which are Jarum Neraka, or Hell Needle, describing the danger of narcotics, and then Tangan-Tangan Setan, or The Hands of Demons. Bruce Ammond of the Jakarta Post described her as one of the biggest Indonesian music stars of the late 1980s, while the guitarist and songwriter Ian Antono called her the best female pop rock singer Indonesia has ever seen. Two of her songs, Jarum Neraka and Tangan-Tangan Setan, both released in 1985, were listed as among the best Indonesian songs of all time by Rolling Stones Indonesia in 2009. Well then, listener, that was a glimpse of Nicky Astria, an Indonesian lady rocker before the 1980s. Before we play another song by Nicky Astria, well, we will reply an email from Bernd Seiser in Germany. Hello again, Mr. Bernd Seiser, how are you? Thank you very much for your email dated August 16, 2015. So, well, keep tuning in our radio every day. And of course, Mr. Bernd Seiser, please give our best regards to your mother, Anna Seiser, who has also participated in our quiz. Thank you. Special for you and your club, we'll play a beautiful song from Nicky Astria. Enjoy the song.
Cinta gelaplah hidupmu dan hilang rasa. Jangan pernah engkau menyerah. Kuatkan dirimu untuk terus melangkah. Carry on, buka mata hatimu. Hatimu hangatkan jiwa dan terang hidupmu. Mengapa kau takut dan sembunyi? Kini saatnya tunjukkanlah dirimu.
Langkah
Now, we continue to reply an email from Mrs. Hanan Osman Abdel Kadir in Egypt. In her email, Ms. Hanan said that she likes to listen to the radio, to know different culture and different countries. Hello, Mrs. Hanan Osman Abdel Kadir. Thank you very much for your email dated August 14, 2015. We suggest you to listen to our segment Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and Know Our Music through our English program. Because through these segments, you will be able to know more about Indonesian arts and culture. Hopefully, it will add your knowledge about Indonesia. Well, Mrs. Hanan Osman Abdel Kadir, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Special for you and our regular listener, we will play you another beautiful song from Nicky Astria. Well then, let's check it out.
Getar asmara pun pudar di dalam dada, dan di antara kita telah tak ada rasa saling seia sekata. Hari ini atau esok berpisah untuk selama-lamanya, agar takkan lagi ku rasa muka derita hidup bersama. Berpisah jadi beban di hati.
Well, listener, that was another hit by Nicky Astria. Unfortunately, very unfortunate that we have to sign off right now. But we really appreciate your reception report on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. We'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan page on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia. Follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners who have sent your greetings on our Independence Day. We have received greetings from Azam Ali Somro from Pakistan, who sent a photograph of a girl with Indonesian red and white flag on the background with Bhinneka Tunggal Ika words. Well, it apparently the girl resembles Indonesia. Thank you very much for the pictures. And we have also received greetings from Azam Ali Somro and Amir Manzur in Pakistan, Jahangir Alamanto in Bangladesh, Muhammad Yasir Ishfaq also in Pakistan, Muhammad El Sayed in Egypt, and many more. Well then, listener, to conclude listener's mailbag, we will play another song from Nicky Astria. I'm Steve. Thank you very much for your attention and for your time to listen to this program. We'll meet again next week with the listener's mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta, 10011 Indonesia, and join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.